KORC is looking for volunteer local reporters to tell the stories that aren't getting told. So if you have something to share, an expert opinion, or even just anything cool you think people should know about, write us at info@korcfm.com and let's talk. And join us on Sundays to hear local news, interviews, and stories that aren't getting told anywhere else.
The views expressed in the following program are those of the writers and producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of KORC, its underwriters, or community airwaves.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics, a program heard every Sunday afternoon here on KORC from 1 to 2 p.m. You can find us locally on 105.9 FM. We are streaming worldwide at KORCFM.com. The Corvallis School District announces the upcoming Benton County Career Convention, an event tailored toward 11th graders in our community. This is set to take place on February 26th at Oregon State University. That's a Monday. And this annual convention aims to provide students with real-world insights and experiential learning opportunities. The local school district is reaching out to the community to invite volunteers to contribute to the success of this event. There are several roles available for volunteers, including mock interviewers, where you will help students hone their interview skills by participating in mock interviews. Also, career panel participants, where you can share your professional journey and insights on a career panel. Event support, where you can assist in checking in and directing students to ensure a smooth and organized experience. Or community partners. You can be a community partner to this effort by sharing services, internship opportunities, or information on summer employment for young people. Please note that all volunteers are required to complete the Corvallis School District volunteer application, which is online at the Corvallis School District website, which I will give in just a moment. This is an opportunity for community members to play an active role in shaping the future of our students. By contributing your time and expertise, you are part of their learning experience, and you can be a crucial part in creating an engaging learning environment. For more information, you are encouraged to contact High School Coordinator Nikki McFarland at 541-757-3966. That phone number is 541-757-3966 for High School Coordinator Nikki McFarland. You can go online to www.csd509j.net. That's csd509j.net. That is the website for the Corvallis School District. That's the upcoming Benton County Career Convention taking place at Oregon State University, Monday, February 26th. There is more information at csd509j.net, the Corvallis School District website where qualified applicants can also search available careers in the school district. This is KORC News, Music, and Civics. I'm Dan Krall.
Tried and True Coffee Company has been sold. Owner Ann Schneider made the announcement on her Facebook page January 22nd, the day after the sale, in which she stated Bespoken Coffee Roasters was also sold. Both entities were bought by Futura Coffee Roasters. Schneider said in her post, quote, "When we started to look for someone to take over our shops, we had a pretty big checklist of must-haves, and Futura really met and exceeded. We wanted them to be run by someone that could take them to that next level we just haven't had the capacity for," unquote. She cited family as one of the main reasons they sold the business. Futura Coffee Roasters was started by a group of Colombian entrepreneurs and coffee professionals who each have involvement with various aspects of coffee production. For example, two of the founders, Felipe Sardi and Elisa Madrignan, co-own La Palma and El Tucan Coffee Farm outside of Bogota, Colombia. And founder Sebastian Villamizar is a partner of Equation Coffee, a coffee bean export company. Portland area coffee shop owner Charles C.J. Spielman acts as the group's Portland representative. He owns two other cafes in the city. Futura opened their first shop in Portland in the Montevilla neighborhood in February 2022 and a second location in the Arbor Lodge neighborhood sometime later. Just this past December, they opened another cafe in Amherst, Massachusetts. And right around the time they bought Tried and True, it was hinted at on their Instagram page that another location was opening soon. This was confirmed on their official website when a Division Street shop in Portland was added to the list of locations. It is unclear at this time what changes we'll see at our beloved coffee shops, but as I went to run my card at the Southtown location, popping up on the screen in big white font was the word Futura. This is Nick Martin with KORC.
You're listening to KORC News, Music and Civics. I'm Trevor Sayre with your Corvallis City meetings for the week of February 5th, 2024. On Monday, February 5th, the Corvallis City Council will be holding a meeting at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held in person at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. See CorvallisOregon.gov for agenda details and information on how to attend the meeting online. On Wednesday, February 7th at 6:30 p.m., the Planning Commission will hold a meeting that will be online only. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join. Also on Wednesday, February 7th and also at 6:30 p.m., the Library Advisory Board will be holding an in-person meeting at the Corvallis-Benton County Public Library, 645 Northwest Monroe Avenue here in Corvallis. The meeting will also be held online. Please refer to CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. On Thursday, February 8th at 9 a.m., the Civic Beautification and Urban Forestry Department Advisory Committee meeting will be held at the Corvallis Parks and Recreation Administration Building, 1310 Southwest Avery Park Drive. Also on Thursday, February 8th, but at 4 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a work session which will be held virtually and in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. Another meeting on Thursday, February 8th, but at 5 p.m., the Climate Action Advisory Board Workgroup, No Food Wasted, will be meeting virtually at 5 p.m. Please see CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to attend. And finally, on Friday, February 9th at 4 p.m., the City Legislative Committee will be meeting online only. Since the link to join the meeting is long and difficult to say on air, we've abbreviated to clc.korcfm.com. That is, the link to join the meeting is clc.korcfm.com. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Trevor Sayre.
Veterans for Peace is alarmed by the increased presence of military recruiters in our high schools. The Army and the other branches are falling well short of their recruiting goals and are ramping up pressure on schools to allow increased access to students. Rather than work against this military presence, Veterans for Peace has for many years had an occasional presence in schools, but with the goal of ensuring those students who are considering a career in the military know enough about the system to demand truthful and accurate answers to their questions for military recruiters. Truth in military recruiting. A few things students may not be aware of. The military can change anything specified in the enlistment agreement without notice to the student or enlistee. Anything might include promised training, the candidate's ultimate career specialty, or their assigned duty station location. If the student signs up in the delayed entry program, thereby delaying his or her boot camp reporting date until perhaps later the following summer, that student can easily and legally change their mind and decide not to report, with absolutely no repercussions. There is no obligation to show up for anything until the candidate is sworn into the military when they arrive at boot camp. The military is a complex system, and joining is a serious, life-changing decision. Students need to know the truth about jobs, lifestyle, restrictions on free speech, and the risks of death, injury, and sexual victimization before signing up to be in the military. You can visit vfpcorvallis.org for more information. That's VFP, as in Veterans for Peace. vfpcorvallis.org features information on truth in recruiting, how war affects the environment, plus information on getting involved. This is KORC, Community Radio for Corvallis.
Hi neighbors, this is Claire Gilgannon, here to talk with you about turkey vultures. Yes folks, you heard me correctly, I said turkey vultures. Those wonderful darlings of decay we often see soaring on thermals above our neighborhoods or in the wide open spaces of agricultural grasslands and riparian zones. Did you know that turkey vultures consume, nearly exclusively, the dead and decaying flesh of animals killed by disease, roadside collision, or natural causes? Yes, absolutely metal as fuck, I know. They lack the strength in their talons to grasp and kill live prey, so instead use their keen sense of sight and smell to locate their dead meals. By consuming decaying flesh, turkey vultures provide a key ecosystem service to all of us. Not only do they remove what would otherwise be left to rot, turkey vultures are also immune to many communicable diseases, including the rabies virus, which can infect pets, livestock, and humans, and is always fatal if left untreated. Turkey vultures don't give a fuck. They digest it and then even regurgitate it for their babies. And a turkey vulture that consumes infected meat effectively removes it from the environment, thereby reducing the presence of diseases that could otherwise harm us. So give them a break. Take a moment to appreciate the next turkey vulture you spot. And if you see a turkey vulture feasting on a carcass alongside a road or highway, give them space. Change lanes if it's safe to do so, or slow down to reduce the chance the birds will attempt to take flight. Collision with vehicles injures and kills thousands of turkey vultures each year, and we need them around. Understand and respect their place in the ecosystem. You are listening to KORC.
Stay tuned for Bicycle Repairman, Episode 2, The Wrath of Chain Lube.
When trouble strikes, at any time, at any place, he is ready to become Bicycle Repairman.
I'm here to tell you about lubricating your chain.
Look closely at your bike chain. The goal is to get the chain lube into the tiny gap between the roller and the side plates of each link. Capillary action will distribute the lube inside the chain. First, prop your bike so that you have access to the chain and can move the pedals backward. If you have a kickstand, you'll probably have to put it up. Cinching a strap around one of your brake levers can help keep the bike from rolling while you're working on it. You may want to clean your chain. Some lubes have a high solvent content and can be used to degrease the chain as well as to relubricate it. You can also use a degreaser on a rag. Just protect yourself, wear gloves, and work in a ventilated area. Apply a tiny amount of lube to each link. You can use your right hand to pedal backward as you handle the bottle with your left. A tiny drop in the right spot is much better than excess all over. Many chains have a unique link that can be used to tell when you've gone all the way around. Otherwise, you can just mark the side plate of one of the links. Once you've gotten every link, go back with your rag and wipe off the excess. You can be thorough. The drier you get the outside of the chain, the cleaner it will stay. That's it! Lubing your chain often will make your bike smoother, quieter, and more efficient, and will increase the life of the wearing parts. This has been Bicycle Repairman on KORC.
Bicycle Repairman! How can I ever repay you?
Well, you don't need to come, it's all right. It's all in a day's work for Bicycle Repairman.
We're listening to an example of Tuvan throat singing. The Corvallis Museum and Cultural Center and Corvallis Experiments in Noise is proud to present Shaman Chinggis Khan conducting an authentic ritual for powerful healing, while sharing his personal algeis, an ancient genre of spirit song. The evening will include Errington de Dioniso presenting Voice Mask, a musical performance ritual improvised to showcase his variety of extended vocal techniques. You're invited to an evening of Tuvan shamanism and throat singing on Tuesday, February 6th at 6 p.m. at the Corvallis Museum and Cultural Center, 411 Southwest 2nd Street, downtown, right across from Robnett's Hardware.
Yeah. Whoa, man. Oh, that's a nice truck, man. That's a big old truck.
Yeah, that's a nice truck.
Big truck.
Hey, hell yeah, man. Check out my new light rack.
Whoa, shut her down, partner.
What?
Hey, brother, we all gotta use the road. That means toning it down with the headlights. I know it gets darker than crude oil out there on the back 40, but those truck lights are frying people's retinas like a pork rind, and it ain't right or safe. Now pop that hood and make sure your lights aren't too bright, and that they're angled properly, and dim your brights for oncoming traffic like your daddy told you. So brother, don't let lumens be the measure of your manhood. And let's keep the road safe so everyone can see your big old truck.
Lava Lamp Larry, talking about transportation. I have an interview coming up here with Steve Starcevich, who works for Fish and Game, but in the meantime, volunteers with the Corvallis Sustainability Coalition's Transportation Action Team. The project that Steve will be talking about is building a safer and more sustainable transportation system with OSU and ODOT. So Steve, tell me about the project that is currently in the works, which is building a safer and more sustainable transportation system with OSU and ODOT.
On the Sustainability Coalition website, on the Transportation Action Team page, you can find a list of our talks that we've hosted, and we hosted the OSU folks, I think a little over a year ago, when we learned about their project on Southwest Washington Way. It's the street that it runs east-west and goes past the basketball stadium and the tennis courts on OSU, and they've had to replace a water main and maybe some other pipes too. And so they had to tear the whole street up. So they've completely redesigned the street, and Corvallis will get its first separated bikeway. It's going to get enhanced sidewalks. All the crossings will be raised and protected for pedestrians. It's really one of the first world-class world-class design for multimodal transportation. It's a pretty exciting project. So I imagine they'll probably be talking about that. And then we're hoping that they bring the same sort of spirit and design principles to Monroe. So from 14th to 29th, they are going to redesign that. And there's going to be a big public process. It's a collaboration with the city of Corvallis. And so that's something that we're all very interested in, to see how it turns out and to watch the whole planning process.
I just like to say that that's an exciting project because it's been a long time coming, obviously. They're still working on it. And having the separated multimodal lanes is really a big deal, I think. It's a great safety issue for pedestrians and bikers. So,
yeah, no, it really is, too. And, you know, I've biked Monroe a lot, and you're stuck between moving cars on one side and parked cars on the other side. So your whole lane is in the door zone of the parked cars. So it's a little tight, and it's not really comfortable for biking. And I have a friend that just finished at OSU, and she always, I sort of inspired her to bike. I bike on 90% of my trips around town, and she has always loved biking. And so she got back into it. And every time I run into her, she's like, "So I almost got hit today. It was on Monroe." So I think there's a lot of stories of close calls or even getting hit on Monroe. So
yeah, I almost got hit, not on Monroe, but just off Monroe on 15th, I think. So yeah, I know that one.
Right. And then we also just hosted a talk with Jim Dahl from Oregon Department of Transportation. He's leading up the Tyler Avenue and Harrison project downtown. And so there's some multimodal improvements coming to those two streets as well. And Tyler is my route to work. I actually bike along the 11th Street neighborhood bikeway, and then I take a left on Tyler and head into downtown. And the intersection on 2nd Avenue is just really, it's really difficult even for an experienced biker like myself. And I could see how it could really deter people from using Tyler as a neighborhood bikeway. It is designated as the city's next neighborhood bikeway to kind of link it up with 11th. And so we're really excited. ODOT's got a design for that area that is really going to help. Again, it's right up there as world-class design to slow cars down and provide safe crossings for people biking and walking. So we're pretty excited about that. We hosted that talk too, and we have that recorded. So if other people are interested in the details of that,
these videos are available on the Corvallis Sustainability Committee's website.
That's right.
SustainableCorvallis.org.
That's right.
Well, those are great projects because I don't have to bike to work, thank you, but I certainly do bike around town as much as I can, and the 11th Street Bikeway used to be one of my routes. I have now moved to the kind of the southwest part of town, so I'll find some new routes, but and I have crossed I have tried to cross 2nd Street using Tyler, and it's a challenging route. So any help for biking and certainly for safety is very, very welcome. What else is in the works that you know of?
With the Transportation Action Team, well, this is sort of our off season for delivering bike racks. But over the course of the spring and summer and fall, we deliver bike racks to city events and public events. So people have access to convenient and sufficient bike parking. And so that's one of our main projects, to try to promote biking and walking and just active transportation in general. We don't have anything planned currently for that. Another project that we are slowly building is a way of estimating transportation mode share. Right now, there's several sites around the city that are monitored by ODOT, and they publish annual statistics about vehicle mode share. So, you know, how many vehicles a day on average travel on this road? But there's no estimate of how many people are walking on that street, how many people are biking on that street. We could probably get statistics on how many people are using transit. But our city goals are to shift transportation mode share to active transportation. That's walking, biking, rolling some other way, and taking transit, and shift away from kind of single occupant vehicle trips and vehicle miles traveled. And our city is not really monitoring that. So we're interested in developing a kind of a study design where we can estimate transportation mode share and use it to literally monitor whether or not our actions as a city are effective. So we're still in the development phase of that. It'll probably be a community science project, but I just bought a Telram device that is a camera that can recognize different shapes and classify them into different mode shares. So it's on the way right now. I'm pretty excited to put it in a window somewhere. It's got to be in the second story within 15 meters of the street with clear access. So we're in the process. I'm riding around town looking at every second story window like, oh, is that a good one? Is that a good one?
Where would you like this to be? What part of town would be the most informative?
Well, that'll be part of the study design. We're really interested in transportation, biking and walking as transportation. Like, a lot of people like to use biking and walking as recreation. You're walking your dog, just getting out to get some fresh air, biking around the block, biking to a park. But to really get all the community benefits from shifting mode share to active transportation, it has to be a lot of people. And so, so we want to measure that and get a baseline. Where are we at right now? And year after year after year, are we improving? And so there's different ways of looking at it. Obviously, you know, OSU is its own little city, and it's like a pedestrian mall, so it's way ahead of us. It's, to me, the way I want all cities to go, you know, where it's really walkable and safe, and there's lots of housing near where you do most of your business or where you work, and the city has definitely got plans to do that kind of thing, to make kind of like 15-minute cities in different parts. It's called the Climate Friendly and Equitable Area program. But OSU is already way ahead of us because it is a pedestrian mall. So, you know, I want to look at other neighborhoods. Like, I want to look at a neighborhood in Southtown, one in my neighborhood near Highlands and Circle, maybe in Timber Hill. So think of it as these different kind of neighborhoods around town. And I want to focus on streets where people use them for transportation rather than just walking their dogs. So Highland is a great one. So I'm thinking of staying on roads that have bus stops so we can monitor transit use too. Mm-hmm. as a mode share. But honestly, at this point, I want to test out this technology. And so if anyone has a second story window and want to have this up in your window for a week, it doesn't even need internet. It connects via a cellular chip or something like that in it. So it would just need electricity and a good view of the street and sidewalk. We really need to focus on mode share and shifting it, because that's our city goals. And when we do start making this shift, we'll start to see all the amazing benefits that come with active transportation.
That is a worthwhile goal for certainly Corvallis and every city. I want to thank you for joining us today at KORC, and we will definitely stay in touch and hear how these projects are moving forward and what they look like in terms of time, how far down the road some of these things will be put into place. And I look for the day when every main street in Corvallis has safer modes of transportation for those who bike and roll and walk and so forth. So once again, thank you for joining us here today, and we'll check in again with you soon.
Yep. Great talking with you, and I love KORC. It's so great you guys are in town. We've been listening to it a lot.
Well, we appreciate that for sure. Thanks, and keep listening. All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Starcevich with the Transportation Action Team of the Corvallis Sustainability Coalition. For KORC News, I'm Lava Lamp Larry.
Do you like hip-hop?
Yeah.
Then tune in to 4 Real for the Radio with me, Phil Pharrell.
I know you heard me on the radio.
True. Every Thursday night at 10 p.m. and every Saturday night at 11 p.m. Two new episodes every week.
Phil Pharrell on KORC. Kick-ass hip-hop. Good time of night to check out some motherfucking jams. Thanks for being with us for a year. I'm Dan Krall, the station manager, and definitely a fan of the hip-hop on 4 Real for the Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is JC. I want to congratulate Phil Pharrell on a year anniversary with KORC. Rock on, Phil.
On KORC 105.9, pop that cork. Oh. Hey, it's Phil Pharrell for KORC, here doing a little interview with reggae/hip-hop artist out of Portland, Zelly Rock. So let's get to it. Support local music. And again, this is Phil Pharrell interviewing Zelly Rock on KORC. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Zelly Rock. I'm a hip-hop reggae artist. Long time in the business. Rapping since 1979, 85, 86, first time I really, you know, recorded some tunes, and just been in a band or some ever since, doing things, enough tunes.
All right.
Underground. I'm an underground artist, though, for real, you know, for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, you want to describe, for those who aren't familiar with your music, you want to describe your style to them?
I'm like, I'm like a straight realist, reality artist, straight from the street, but with the insight into what's behind the curtain, and who's pulling the wool over our eyes, and also just, loving and laughing, and I'm having fun with hip-hop, you know what I mean? The five elements, you know what I mean? Breaking, rapping, DJing and graffiti. It's all about hip-hop to me. But reggae has infiltrated my life from at a young age, from the people surrounding me, and sound system culture. That's just a huge influence in my music. So if you know about that, you'll understand like what my music is about. It's just, it's all lyrics. It's just enough lyrics. Just lyrics.
All right, you want to describe how you got started exactly in music?
My parents gave me, in the second grade, they made me play violin. I was like, or third grade. I'm like, really? Violin? Third grade? Third, fourth, violin, whoop, cut that out. Got a saxophone, played saxophone for the next, like, 10 years. So I actually played music, reading music and, you know, playing in the jazz band and up until middle of high school. Then I just started singing and rapping more and more. I've always been rapping, but just, you know.
So, you want to tell the people exactly where you're from, where you grew up?
23rd and Killingsworth, baby. Portland, Northeast. So, I've been rapping for a long time, and music's just always been there. Funk, everything. It's been cracking.
So, let's put one on by Zelly Rock.
Hitting me now.
responsible for them things that you do. Too true. You owe a debt to society to teach the youth about living in harmony. Just get the good vibes for the land, and then the loving will continue to spread. Understand, this is what we need for the healing of the nations. I do what I do, and see the need to give thanks and give back love too. For you, I have a pure good intentions, so pay attention to the words that I mention. The truth and honesty is the best thing for you. We sing the best is softly, ooh-wee. Because the lying and the cheating and stealing only leads to your destruction. Hey, yeah. Each one feeds each one to the next generation. Can contribute the love we need to move forward with the positive vibration. Trotting on the righteous path, all that's up, one should do the math. Know the path. Once you know the truth, then you gain control. Infinite love is as contagious as the sun rays from above. Feel the warmth it brings. Flowers blooming and the birds do sing. I know good works will manifest into happiness and heal the earth. Give birth to a shining example of what we can achieve and it can be trampled. No. Each one feeds to the next generation. Can contribute the love we need to move forward with a positive vibration.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in to KORC, it's me, Phil For Real. I'm doing an interview with reggae/hip-hop artist out of Portland, Zelly Rock. That last song was from him. It's called Each One Teach One. Now let's get back to the interview.
All right, you want to talk about some of the projects you've had? The projects that I've had. That's a long story. Projects, like, what, you mean like albums? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, I came out with the Beacon, and then I came out with The Ledge. These are solo albums. Then I came out with Don Dignitaries, which is a collaboration between me and RK1. RK1's from Nigeria. We did a dancehall hip-hop album, Don Dignitaries. Then me and Sleep did an album, Combination Locked, Sleep from Old Dominion, Sleep Wicked, done know, one of the fastest rappers in the world. Lickety Split, you done know, Lick Off a Shot, brrr, stick 'em, Sleep, Large. Then I did Chops and Props, then I did Pinnacle Gallery, Blessed Love, Old Time, Something Come Back Again. So I did a couple of few reggae albums, but a lot of those are hip-hop albums. And I'm just putting these out there because, you know, I'm out there touring, playing shows, so I got to have some merch, so, you know. But really, I didn't have much distribution. Like, at one time, I had a little distribution from City Hall Records for a hot second. But that's about it. Yeah.
So, have you been underground since?
I'm underground to the core, but really what I've been doing is live shows with reggae bands for years. Zelly Rock and the Escort Service, the Instigators, but mostly the Escort Service or Don Dignitaries. You know, I got an 11-piece band or a 10-piece band, or just pull together a keys, rhythm guitar, bassy, guitar, couple horns, you know, always got horns, and do like old rub-a-dub, rock steady, dance hall, some classic rhythms. That's really my style. But like, I was putting out a lot of hip hop albums, but really my style is like all over the place. Like, I used to rap with a cat here in Eugene, actually, in Portland. This cat who was he's from New York. He moved out here for a while because he had some things to deal with. But I met him because he had a bunch of beads on. And I used to rock beads. I used to make my own beads. We all rock beads. Bead masters. And I was like, yo, kid, where are you from? Nice beads. He had a big medallion. And he was in Portland. He was working at Yogi's Yogurt. And he's like, this was Jamalski from BDP. And I was just like, who's this cat with these beads? I was like, I make beads. I don't even know anybody else who makes these beads. It was just Fimo beads with the Millefiori technique of the thousand flowers. It's the old technique, like the African trading bead style. Anyway, this is how we used to make money back in the day when I used to skate, is I would make beads that I learned from this guy, Jordan, R.I.P., and Hayes, Dave Rogers, Boston kids. These kids are mad clever. They taught me how to write the wicked graffiti. Like, this is really how I got put on from these Boston kids.
All right.
Enough karate belts on the wall.
So talk about some of the big names that you've worked with. Maybe either done a feature for them or maybe they've featured for you.
A lot of street kind of cats, underground street cats. I did, you know, did songs with Talib Kweli, Capadonna from Wu-Tang, you know, Rock Ness from Helter Skelter, you know what I mean? But Mac Dre, a lot of songs with Mac Dre, Spice One. Just, you know, old school characters that were, you know, out there back in the day. Just a lot of cats. But guest appearances are great. It's nice to work with people, but, you know, really, it's really about, you know, what do you got? But it's nice to be able to work with people and actually do a song that's good.
All right, man, is there anything else you want to let us know?
Well, just look out for Zelly Rock, and if you hear me in the area, check for me, because it'll be some good vibes. You never had no vibes like some Zelly Rock vibes, because I mix it up, and it's just five elements, whole vibes, hip-hop. Lick up a shot. Respect.
Yeah. Shouts out to Zelly Rock for the interview. You can look up Zelly Rock and find his music online. Support local artists. Yeah. It's been Phil Farrell for KORC. Back to you, whoever. Haha.
You're listening to KORC News, Music and Civics. I'm Trevor Sayre with your Corvallis City meetings for the week of February 5th, 2024. On Monday, February 5th, the Corvallis City Council will be holding a meeting at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held in person at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. See CorvallisOregon.gov for agenda details and information on how to attend the meeting online. On Wednesday, February 7th at 6:30 p.m., the Planning Commission will hold a meeting that will be online only. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join. Also on Wednesday, February 7th, and also at 6:30 p.m., the Library Advisory Board will be holding an in-person meeting at the Corvallis-Benton County Public Library, 645 Northwest Monroe Avenue here in Corvallis. The meeting will also be held online. Please refer to CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. On Thursday, February 8th at 9 a.m., the Civic Beautification and Urban Forestry Department Advisory Committee meeting will be held at the Corvallis Parks and Recreation Administration Building, 1310 Southwest Avery Park Drive. Also on Thursday, February 8th, but at 4 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a work session which will be held virtually and in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. Another meeting on Thursday, February 8th, but at 5 p.m., the Climate Action Advisory Board Work Group, No Food Wasted, will be meeting virtually at 5 p.m. Please see CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to attend. And finally, on Friday, February 9th at 4 p.m., the City Legislative Committee will be meeting online only. Since the link to join the meeting is long and difficult to say on air, we've abbreviated to clc.korcfm.com. That is, the link to join the meeting is clc.korcfm.com. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Trevor Sayre.
This is March Pop for Community Voices on KORC. On November 28th, 2023, Darren Nichols, Director of Community Development for Benton County, appeared before the Board of Commissioners. His presentation appeared designed to convince the board to halt the meeting of the Disposal Site Advisory Committee and restructure it to limit critical comment from some residents regarding the Coffin Butte landfill. He accomplished this goal. His tactics for doing so leave much to be desired in terms of ethical communication. Fully 7 minutes of his 28-minute presentation were taken up by unsubstantiated accusations and toxic insinuations stated vaguely enough to skirt obvious legal defamation charges. Over the next few weeks, 4 DSAC members presented evidence of Nichols' false claims and a detailed critique of the vague and misleading nature of his accusations. There was no response from the county to requests for retraction and correction of the record. At the December 19th Board of Commissioners meeting, 2 DSAC members spoke during the public comment portion of the board meeting. After our remarks, Commissioner Augereau stated, "I have a very hard time when we go over and over water that's under the bridge." Generally, this idiom is used when a matter has been discussed by both parties and resolved in some manner. None of our comments, written or oral, have been addressed in any way, at least publicly, by the Board of Commissioners. Commissioner Wise then repeated, thereby amplifying a particularly inflammatory debunked claim. Allowing a public official to defame and denigrate members of the community who serve on advisory boards is not in the spirit of openness and community, and especially flies in the face of the supportive people and resources plank of the Benton County 2040 Thriving Communities Core Value Statement. The thing is, lots of us residents truly have those values, and we want to see them played out by our leaders on a day-to-day basis. We want ethical, intelligent, and forward-thinking leaders who walk the walk. We are seeing a disturbing parallel between the disparagement of county residents who serve on the DSAC and the abrupt charges brought against a Corvallis City Councilor. In both cases, local government officials seem to be engineering the efforts to consolidate their own power. It appears as though there is an effort underway to disempower community input when it speaks inconvenient truths to power. Our city and county elected officials need to remember that their job is to work in the interest of and uphold the values of our residents, not to protect their staff's desire to operate above criticism. It is the job of our leadership to monitor and guide civic staff, not the other way around. Although state law, ORS 459.320, specifies that DSAC function as a local citizens advisory committee, this week, county staff released a proposed change to the DSAC bylaws. These changes will effectively take all administration responsibility from the DSAC chair and transfer it to the community development director. Benton County staff will then be in complete control of DSAC. At the January 23 Board of Commissioners meeting, Mr. Nichols presented this version of the bylaws for approval. Commissioner Augereau pushed back on a few of the most egregious power grab attempts, but it is clear that if the Board of Commissioners approves new bylaws, anything like these, the future direction of DSAC will lie not in the hands of local residents as suggested by state law, but with unelected Benton County staff. Perhaps we all need to keep a watchful eye on the motivations and actions of our local bureaucracy. The saying, "Democracy dies in darkness," seems relevant in this moment. This is Marge Pop for Community Voices on KORC.
Tried and True Coffee Company has been sold. Owner Ann Schneider made the announcement on her Facebook page January 22nd, the day after the sale, in which she stated Bespoken Coffee Roasters was also sold. Both entities were bought by Futura Coffee Roasters. Schneider said in her post, quote, "When we started to look for someone to take over our shops, we had a pretty big checklist of must-haves, and Futura really met and exceeded. We wanted them to be run by someone that could take them to that next level we just haven't had the capacity for," unquote. She cited family as one of the main reasons they sold the business. Futura Coffee Roasters was started by a group of Colombian entrepreneurs and coffee professionals who each have involvement with various aspects of coffee production. For example, two of the founders, Felipe Sardi and Elisa Madrignan, co-own La Palma and El Tucan Coffee Farm outside of Bogota, Colombia. And founder Sebastian Villamizar is a partner of Equation Coffee, a coffee bean export company. Portland area coffee shop owner Charles C.J. Spielman acts as the group's Portland representative. He owns two other cafes in the city. Futura opened their first shop in Portland in the Montevilla neighborhood in February 2022 and a second location in the Arbor Lodge neighborhood sometime later. Just this past December, they opened another cafe in Amherst, Massachusetts. And right around the time they bought Tried and True, it was hinted at on their Instagram page that another location was opening soon. This was confirmed on their official website when a Division Street shop in Portland was added to the list of locations. It is unclear at this time what changes we'll see at our beloved coffee shops, but as I went to run my card at the Southtown location, popping up on the screen in big white font was the word Futura. This is Nick Martin with KORC.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics. I'm Dan Kroll. This past week, the Linus Pauling 8th grade boys basketball team had an away game and a home game, being handed a defeat both on their turf and off. Midweek was an away game at Silverton Middle School with the final score at 50-14 Silverton. The boys team gave good effort as they felt their way on the court, managing to score a few points. But ultimately, the team from Silverton had a strategy, one that they were repeating on the court, and a few especially talented players. I had a chance to speak with one of Linus Pauling's coaches after the game.
It's after the game, the final score being 50-14, Silverton winning the game. This is Dan Kroll, and I am with the LP assistant basketball coach, Bo Storr. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What are your thoughts after this game?
You know, honestly, it was really fun just to get the group out here. We lost a full week of practice due to the weather, unfortunately, in the Valley, and that's, I mean, especially when you're playing with kids who are a little bit less experienced to begin with, it affects you a lot, so definitely feeling the effects of that and losing those practice time. But I think the kids really overall, just how hard they played and how much fun they have, was really exciting to see and hoping to grow on that, especially as we get to play more ball in the upcoming weeks.
Even though Linus Pauling did not pull a victory for today's game, were you proud of the players regardless?
Yeah, no, of course. I think, you know, I'm very competitive. As a team, we're all very competitive. But in terms of just measuring growth today, we had a lot of kids who scored their first ever basket in a game, which, I mean, is just an incredible thing. So really exciting to see and hopefully grow on.
Following this, I was able to get an exclusive interview with one of the star athletes from the Linus Pauling team.
What was your favorite part of today's game?
Running back and forth and probably catching rebounds.
Are you looking forward to the next game?
Definitely.
On Wednesday, Linus Pauling boys basketball took on Newport inside the small gym at Linus Pauling Middle School. Like Silverton, parents were situated and sitting together from both teams, with only a single row of chairs crammed courtside. This game felt more one-sided than Silverton, with Newport scoring nearly all of the goals. There came a point in the game where the fans, including Solomon, the KORC kid, had lost hope.
What are you thinking so far, Solomon?
LP really needs to step up their game.
LP!
The score is 0-32. Newport in the lead. Do you think Linus Pauling is going to turn things around in this next part of the game? Solomon, the KORC kid.
Probably not.
You don't think so? I am rooting for them to score a few points, and I think once that happens and they feel the energy of the crowd, they might turn things around. Do you think that's possible?
Probably.
We will just have to see. Maybe we could cheer a little bit louder?
Probably.
After the game, between the hustle and bustle, the coaches and students filed out of the busy gymnasium as the next set of teams began to warm up on the court. This is Dan Kroll, and this past week, without planning to, I became an enthusiastic sports dad.
You got this, LP. You guys are going to turn this around. Woo!
Back in my high school days, being a jock never resonated with me. Over the years, I have wondered about wanting to blend in with sports parents if my kids were interested to participate, or take weekends to travel for games. And as a single dad who has my boys half-time, I realize at this point in my life, much of my life isn't really about me. But more so, I am proud to see my eighth grader getting into something that is positive and worthwhile and makes him happy. It's not about beating the other team. Now, that may come later, but for right now, it's about working toward goals, being involved with something that brings confidence, getting good exercise, using the body to its ability. Between these two basketball games this past week and this past season of running cross country, which was the first sport that my son John has participated in, I have seen a measurable positive growth. My son was falling in with a less savory crowd in his earlier junior high years, and for a number of years he's been very headstrong and stubborn, and that is a trait he certainly has not gotten from me. Already, though, cross country and basketball have been a very positive thing in building his confidence, getting him into shape, giving him a useful outlet for his energy. And while I don't personally have a background in sports, with my son taking to this extracurricular activity, and with the positive influence of the coaching staff, the chance to make friends on his team, the feeling of competition that he is learning, for a few times this week, I became an enthusiastic sports dad.
18 minutes and 50 seconds remaining, 7-0.
Oh, no! Yeah! Woo! Yeah, John!
With a three-point shot.
Yeah!
The Linus Pauling boys basketball team has a home game tomorrow, Monday, against Silverton. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Dan Kroll. Thanks for joining us this week on KORC News, Music, and Civics. We're listening now to a track called Power Surge by the Vaporwave group Luxury Elite. Part of what KORC Community Radio is all about is strengthening the family. A stronger family is part of a healthy community, and while many of us do not live in a traditional nuclear family setting, a lot of us are divorced or single. A lot of us are in situations that are unlike that of our neighbor. We at KORC value family as well and what it means to all of us. And I know that I have been able to connect with both of my sons through this medium of community radio. In fact, my son John was the original KORC weatherman. And Solomon, the KORC kid, is a regular voice here on KORC. The production of Episode 3 of his program, Angels of Cork, is in the planning stages. One of our DJs and contributors, Phil Farrell, who has been with KORC for 1 year, has had a chance to connect with his father through this medium, and he has produced a program that is airing from 2 to 3 p.m. today on KORC. And Phil Farrell's dad is the host. Coma Hour, that's K-O-M-A. Coma Hour comes your way next here on KORC from 2 to 3. We hope you can stay with us for that. And if you would like to join us in our effort in creating a local news presence on KORC, send us an email, info@korcfm.com. This is community radio, and we are building this effort together. If you'd like to be a part of this, send us an email, info@korcfm.com. I'm Dan Krall for KORC News, Music, and Civics. Join us next week from 1 to 2 p.m. for another edition.
C3 GameCon, Corvallis' very own homegrown local gaming and cosplay convention, is returning in February 2024. We're already starting to build the event schedule. If you're interested in volunteering to host a game, class, or special event, we'd love to have you at the convention. Sponsorships and vendor booths are also available. The two-day convention takes place at C3, the Corvallis Community Center. Visit corvallisoregon.gov/GameCon to learn more and sign up. Advanced ticket registration with an early bird discount is also available. For the City of Corvallis, this is Patrick Rollins.